Today we're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer, and I'm sick or something, I don't know, but after this, if you want to come see me and get sick, you can do that. We're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer, we're going to read John chapter 17. I'm going to read it with you, and then we're going to pray, okay? We'll get into it, all right? So let's read it. Here we go. This is a lot, but let's read it. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you have gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, all you have is mine, all the glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you, Holy Father, so protect them by the power of your name, the name that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except one doomed to destruction, so the scripture would be fulfilled." That's Judas. "I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. And you, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. From them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I and them, you and me, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. Lastly, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself be in them." Amen. That's a lot, right? It's a lot in that verse. I think of that verse 24, where this is my desire, that they be with me where I am. I want to be there, you know. I'm selfish reasons I want to go to heaven. I guess when older you get, the more you look forward to it as well, right? I'm at the age now where my father passed away, and I thought he was old. I was 18. I was like, oh, he lived a good life. And then I'm like, but now, you know, really, I'm like, I'm ready. You know, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this text. Thank you, Lord, that we can open it, and it was preserved for us to be encouraged and to grow from this day, Lord. I pray that you settle our hearts, our minds. I pray for me, Lord, just let me be a conduit. May your Holy Spirit work through me, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you confront us, that you challenge us, that we might be changed into the image of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Yep, it's about to go down. Last time I preached, I forgot my glasses, so we're off to a better start. John 17 is truly the Lord's Prayer. You guys know the Lord's Prayer is, that we call the Lord's Prayer is, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, yada, yada, yada. Forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those trespasses. You know what? Jesus never prayed the Lord's Prayer because Jesus did not trespass. Jesus couldn't pray that prayer. Forgive me? So I say that to say this is truly the Lord's Prayer. John 17 is truly the Lord's Prayer. John 17, when the Reformers and the Puritan churches were here, this was their favorite text. And I didn't know this. I just always knew that John 17, Jesus prayed for me. And I'm like, I'm getting into that. I'm excited about that. And then when I started to do research, I was like, well, there's a lot of stuff out there on this, you know. They taught on this. And mainly they taught on verse 3, this is eternal life, that they know you and him who sent me, so that they know God. This is eternal life, that you know God, that you know Jesus. Jesus prays often in the Bible, but most of the time it's like this. Jesus sent away the crowd and he went off to a quiet place to pray. And I could see the disciples like, hey, where'd Jesus go? I don't know. I said, I think he's over there praying. Man, he's always praying over there. Go get him, Larry. It's not my name. I don't know. So he's always praying. He's always off and praying. We get a glimpse every once in a while. We see him praying. We say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, may this cup pass from me. But really, this is the only real meat of Jesus praying to the Father that we get to see. He's praying for you. He's praying for me. He's praying for himself, praying for the disciples. It is thrilling. Oh, I'm going to explode all over you. It's going to happen. Yeah, this you might get wet in this row here. John Knox, the famous Scottish reformer, John Knox, on his deathbed, he said, read John 17 to me because that is where I first cast my anchor. Oh, that's beautiful. Where I first cast my anchor. Do you remember? Do you remember when you first cast your anchor unto the Lord? I was a teenage boy, I remember. I don't remember the verse, but John Knox says, this is where I first cast my anchor. So John chapter 13 through John chapter 16, this is the upper room discourse. Jesus is teaching them content, content, content. He's delivering them a message. I'm leaving. I'm going to send someone. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Things are going to be difficult. I'm leaving. It's okay. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, but it's going to be, you know. And then he stops, he raises up his hands, he looks up, and he prays in the room, I believe, with the disciples. So I believe it's also meant, not this prayer is also meant to be instructive. Instructive on how to pray, instructive on what to be concerned with, instructive on how we should pray. All right? So our concerns, our needs should be the same as Jesus. When we pray, it should be the same. It should be something similar to this. And more than likely, our prayer life is not like this, you know. You know, we pray that the dog, you know, pray for the dog's paw. We pray for different things. You know, Jesus is concerned with every bit of our lives, but he's most concerned with your sanctification and your justification. That's what he's most concerned with. And we're going to see it here. Have you ever prayed that the Lord would keep you saved? Have you ever prayed that? Prayed that the Lord would take that stuff out of your life that you don't want to do anymore? I mean, this is what we should be praying about. This is what we should be about. Watch out. So it should be instructive. John 11, 41 through 42 says this. So they took away the stone. This is Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Jesus is praying. It's redundant. God, Jesus is God. The Trinity, scratch your head. I don't know. That's not our lesson today. But he's saying it out loud so that those around him would hear it and believe. It's instructive. It's the same thing what happened here. Also, this next one, I think it's John 12 maybe. There it is. My heart is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. And others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Here's God glorifying the Son for the benefit of those hearing. That's what we have here. I would say this is what Jesus is doing here. He's instructing us. This prayer is to benefit us. I'm glad we're hearing it today. He wants our prayers, our concerns to be his prayers and his concerns to be on the same page. When you pray and you send missionaries out, you lay hands on them, and you're like, Lord, it's kind of instructive too, right? Lord, go with them, protect them. Help them, Lord, to be bold in their faith. Help them, Lord, to grow. Help them to go, you know. You pray and you kind of give them instructions and guidance. It's the same thing here. And we're blessed. We're blessed to really have this peek into the Holy of Holies, to see Jesus praying to God the Father. The disciples said in Luke 11:1, Lord, teach us to pray. Yeah, I already said that. How about that? Flip. All right, here's our outline for today. Jesus prays to be glorified in the first five verses. Jesus prays for his disciples. And then lastly, Jesus prays for all believers. That would be you and I. And this really is really a picture of the church. You know, Jesus is our cornerstone. Then the apostolic age, Jesus prays for his disciples, and then the church. So really, this is kind of a picture of where we are today. We're down here in John chapter 17, verse 26. Verses 1 through 5 again, let's read that one more time. Let's dig in. After Jesus said this, upper room discourse, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that I may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people that he might give you eternal life to those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. The Jesus we kind of know and think about is the incarnate Jesus, right? Jesus, the guy who died on a cross. But before that, he was in heaven with God the Father, and he's like, restore to me the glory that I had before creation, right? Jesus prays to be glorified again. Jesus prays to be glorified. Solo Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory, right? Everything you do in your life, in your walk, at your job, everything you do, you should be glorifying God with your life. It's hard. It's hard to do, but really, you know, the Lord's there with you. He's helping you. In December, I got a severance package. It's great. It's a great time. I also got an opportunity, though. Yeah, you can stay on, but you can stay on as and in this lower position, right? And so I had to decide, you know, how I was going to behave. The way you respond sometimes at your work is a great testimony of who you are as a Christian. And so my subordinates were now my peers, and praise God, I'm still there. And you know, I didn't take the severance package because some of the guys they're still without work. And you know, things are a little tough right now, aren't they, in the workplace? You're seeing a little squeeze, a little layoffs, a little bit, you know. The economy's rough. How are you going to respond, you know? Let's glorify God in those moments. Jesus prays to be glorified. He says the hour has come. All throughout the New Testament, we're seeing the hour is not yet, it's not yet, it's not yet, not yet. Don't tell nobody. The hour has come. Right after he prays, boom, to the garden, arrested, through the night, trials, crucified. The hour has come. Westminster Shorter Catechism says, what is the chief end of man? Chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. What's the chief end of God? To glorify himself. Philippians 2, 6 through 11, we're going to see this glorification, post-glorification. who, although he existed in the form of God, this is Jesus, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, also, God highly exalted Jesus and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and those who are in heaven, those who are on earth, and those who are under the earth. This is God and the Son, one in essence. This is God glorifying the Son, and the Son glorifying the God. Lord, help us, right, to be a people who glorifies the Lord. Verse 3 also says, this is eternal life, that they know you, whom you sent. You know, people wonder, what is eternal life? Is that where you live a long time? Listen, we're going to live forever. It's just, are you going to live in the smoking section or the non-smoking section, right? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? That's all right. Hey, you can light one up after church. I'm just kidding. Sorry. So we're all going to live a long time. We're all going to live forever. But eternal life is this, though, knowing God and knowing Jesus and him who sent him, knowing Jesus and knowing God. That is eternal life. Growing closer to him in your walk, knowing him, that's eternal life. That's what it's all about. It's not just living a long time. It's living in a relationship with the Lord and Savior. So let's talk a little bit about justification and sanctification. Justification is a moment in time, and we're all, look, let me get down here. Oh, did I snort? Did I snort the first service or this service? Amen. Justification, we're all the same. We all come to Christ, we're all the same. Right? We're saved, we're born again, and the Lord, whew, it's good. Now, that's justification. Sanctification is a little different. We're all over the board in sanctification, right? If you're a new believer, you're still working things out. The Lord's still working in your heart, and you're figuring things out, and the Holy Spirit is here. And how are you going to learn and know what to do? Well, sanctify me by your word, by your truth. Your word is truth. When I was a teenager, I really liked rap music. You know, I just got saved, and I was into rap music. You know what I'm saying? And this is a repeat. And it took a while, you know, for the Lord to kind of clean that up out of my life, because they started doing explicit lyrics. You know, they started buying tapes, and it said explicit. You had to put warnings on there because it was like all bad words on these tapes, you know. And I was like, and the Lord kind of pruned that out of my life, took it away. I like it, you know. That's just one example of my life, of him doing something to me. The Lord does all, he's always working in our hearts and lives, and it's always through his word. I'm not just bashing rap music. You know? I mean, come on. Jelly Roll's got a song. Have you heard Jelly Roll's song? I only talk to God if I need a favor. And his name is Jelly Roll. Amen on that one. I like Jelly Roll. Actually, you know, I hate Jelly Rolls. You don't know what you're going to get. You bite into it. So it's rabbit trail there. But man, I hate Jelly Rolls. It makes me so mad when you get a donut. That one donut you get at work and it's got jelly in it? Huh. Forget it. All right, where was I? Yeah. I only talk to God when I need a favor, and Lord, I need a favor. That's his song. You've probably heard it. But really, sometimes that's what Christians do even. You know, you forget how the goodness of God you once tasted, the joy of your salvation. You forget it. Listen, if you're in his word, yeah, Lord, help us, right? Just help us. Help us. Our walks are different. Help us, Lord. I tell you what'll keep you in the word is having to preach. I tell you, you know, the great responsibility. Or even having to teach, to be quite honest with you. If you're teaching and you have to be prepared on a Sunday morning, it's going to get you in the word. Maybe you need to be teaching. Think about it. All right. Believers are a gift from God to Jesus. Verse 2 says, Lord, you gave me, verse 2 says, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, so all you have given him. So Jesus, God is giving them to Jesus. This is a good picture. Believers are a gift from God to Jesus. And this goes back to Ephesians 1, Romans 8, where before the foundation of the world, God decided to bless you with eternal life and to bless you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, Ephesians 1, 3, and 4, right? So here he is giving you, God is giving you to Jesus. That's a great picture. That's pretty exciting. We could actually close today on that. You're a gift from God to Jesus. You've always been his. If you're a Christian, think about that. You've always been his. Before the foundation of the earth, before you were born. That's pretty cool. When the time is right, he plucked you out, amen, wrote your name in the name Lamb's Book of Life, and he gave you as a gift to Jesus. That's pretty cool. Jesus also is our mediator. Jesus prays to protect them and to keep them. Jesus is our mediator. Verse 11, I'm no longer in the world yet. They themselves are in the world. Jesus is leaving, and he's praying for them because he's concerned. He's concerned with them, you know. He's our mediator. Mediation, the thought of mediation is all in Scripture, right? We have the priest, we have the tabernacle. Everybody is trying to mediate. Everybody needs a mediator. What's Job say? Are we there yet? Let's look at Job. Job 9, verse 32 to 35. Here's Job's situation as he looks for a mediator. God is not a man like that I might answer to him, that we might confront each other in court. If only there were someone to arbitrate between us, to lay his hand upon us both, someone to remove God's rod from me so that his terror would frighten me no more. Then I would speak up without fear of him. But as it now stands with me, I cannot. Job is searching for a mediator, someone to work out this issue between him and God, and there is no mediator. But guess what? We have a mediator. We have a mediator. We have a high priest, not like the tabernacle. Remember, we just looked at this in youth group. The tabernacle, the priest would go in once a year, behind the curtain. What's going on in there? I don't know. I would be dead if I was alive in that time, because I'd be like, what's he doing in there? Oh, it's smoky in there. I would be dead. You know, thank you, Lord, I'm not around then. But guess what? We're looking in right now. This is Jesus talking to God. This is our high priest talking to the Father, mediating on our behalf. Guess what? Guess what? Jesus is in the throne room of God, mediating for us right now. When Jesus went into the throne room of God, into the Holy of Holies, he went in, laid down his life, and then he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Amen. He didn't go out and say, next year we'll do it again. And there he is right now mediating for us, keeping us saved, keeping us, mediating on our behalf. You think perseverance of the saints and you're keeping anything? These glasses, they're my second pair of glasses this year. Actually, these are last year's glasses. I can't keep nothing. Jesus is keeping me saved. He's in the Holy of Holies, mediating on my behalf. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I need it.
Yes.
All right. Read 1 Timothy. This is my note. Read 1 Timothy 2, 5. Sticky. For there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. Yeah, well, just said that. There is one mediator, one person. We don't know. We don't have to go to confession and talk to the priest who will say a couple good words on our behalf. We have one mediator, and it's Jesus. Hey, the curtain, remember when Jesus was crucified and he wrote, boom, the curtain was torn and we have access to the Father? Yes. And we're peeking. We get to see this conversation. Yay. Okay, good. All right. Jesus keeping us saved. Sanctification. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Verse 17 says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself. And here's Jesus setting himself apart. You know, Jesus is not any different. He's living by example. They get to see his walk and be like, you know, here, be like me. And that's, they get firsthand experience. And we're to do this, we're to do the same. Did I say sanctification is not only being set apart from sin, but it's being set apart unto holiness, right? The word, the root word, I can't remember the root word, but it's kind of like sanctification. It's really like holification. The root word there, sanctified unto holiness. So again, your word is truth. You having trouble in your walk? Read the word. You have questions on what's going on? Read the word. We're very fortunate that this church teaches God's word. Andy's very good, very diligent about being about the word. There's a lot of churches. Listen, if the preaching of the word were to go away, it's not a church. You can have a carnival, you can have youth group and all that stuff. I mean, so if we take away the music, take away everything, and we still preach the word, we're still a church. But you can't take the word and the preaching of the word away. Jesus prays for all believers. The last section here, this is where you guys come into play. I'm pretty excited. And I'm losing my voice. I like it. It'll be time for the Colts game, and I'll be, Colts. Jesus prays for all believers. We're not going to read all that text. But Jesus prays for those who will believe in me through their word. So who is those? Jesus prays for those who will believe. That's us. That's you. That's you. Jesus prays for John. Jesus prays for Donna or Dolores or Dorothy. Someone's like, say my name. Say my name. I want to feel special. Brad. You ain't going to do it. You ain't going to do it. You know, is Tashana here? She's teaching. Okay, funny story about Tashana. So I'm pretty. What? It's not bad. So anyway, I have trouble with names, and so her name is Tashana, very unique, so I thought, Tashana, okay, I'll remember that, that's easy. And I came in, I was like, hey, Mitsubishi. True story. I said, that don't sound right, that's not your name, is it? Mitsubishi? I don't even, are they around anymore? I don't even know. All right, so if I call you something else, no offense, I'm just dumb. All right, so those, that's me and that's you. Jesus is praying for us in the future. That's great. Put your name in there. Jesus is praying for me. And he's praying for them, their word. This, all of a sudden, the disciples are like, people are going to believe because of what we say. So now the disciples are becoming preachers. Okay, all right, things are getting real here. All right, and right after this, the church is born and the preaching of the word begins. It's kind of like a baton being handed off or started. Maybe there's a flame there, I don't know. Until we all attain the unity of the faith. Until we all attain the unity of the faith, he says. Unity is in here quite a bit. I think it's important we're all unified as a church, that we all believe and operate the same, you know. It's important. I think, again, like I said, thank you this morning, how we were all one and unified. That's important. It's important we love on each other. I know Loretta lost her husband, Bill, and the other day I got her a chair and gave her a chair. She needed somewhere to sit, and I didn't hug her neck and say anything about Bill, and I forgot. We need to love on those who are hurting. We need to be unified and know who's hurting so we can love on them. And listen, I've come to this church, and I sat in the back, and I've been a wreck, and I needed somebody. You know, and I've also come to this church, and I thought, man, I'm going to the Colts game after. I've been, you know, you're kind of all over the place sometimes. I don't know where you're at and what you need, but you're at the right place. Let's come. Hey, listen, maybe you're good. Maybe someone else needs a little hug from you. Maybe someone else needs you to say, hey, I've been praying for you. I've been thinking about you. What you say matters in this church. What you say matters everywhere, really. Also, lastly, knowledge of the Son of God. He prays for unity and prays for the knowledge of the Son of God. Verse 3, again, this is eternal life. that they know you. And how are they going to know unless there's a preacher, right? How are they going to know unless, you know, there's a preacher? Verse 26. And I have made your name known to them and make it and will make it known so that the love with you, which you love me, may be in them and I in them. That knowledge of him is important. Well, this morning we're going to have the Lord's Supper, which was implemented in a few verses before John chapter 17, and then we're also going to have a baptism. So I'm going to start wrapping things up here with the worship team. You want to come forward, worship team? I want you to think about this as we take communion this morning. I want you to think about a few things. Number one, three R's, it helps me remember. Number one, R, refrain. You know, if you're not a Christian, just let that cup, let that thing pass. Don't heap any troubles on your life. This is for believers only. Now, you can get right with the Lord right now. You don't have to come up here. You know, the Lord knows right where you're at in your proximity to me. It doesn't matter if you're up here. I got saved in my bedroom, in my closet. So wherever you are, you can deal with the Lord right now, you know. And then you can take that bread, take that cup, and you can testify. Secondly, repent, you know. I don't know where you are in your walk, in your life. Just take a moment. Say, Lord, search me. Know me. Help me. And lastly, remember. When you take the cup, remember. So we can pass those elements now. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to remember you. Thank you, Lord, for the powerful, powerful word in John chapter 17. Thank you for letting us peek into the throne room of God and seeing your heart for us, Lord. We love you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name.